Let's get into our study of God's Word. Today, very excited because it's our water baptism today. And so what I'm going to do is a topical teaching instead of our teaching through the book of Ephesians, where on Sunday mornings we're going through the book chapter by chapter and verse by verse. So today I'm going to break from that, and we're going to do a study of, and I'm going to teach on, the meaning of water baptism. And more specifically, I'm hoping to answer some of the questions as it relates to what water baptism is, and also, perhaps more importantly, what water baptism is not. So before we do that, if you would join with me in a word of prayer, we'll ask God's blessing on our time together today. Loving Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to you. Cannot thank you enough for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your love, your kindness, your compassion. Lord, today would you, as only you can and are always faithful to, minister to us in our time together in your word, especially those who are here today and are hurting today. Lord, would you, by the Holy Spirit, just minister comfort? Lord, we ask you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's get to it. You probably noticed we have everything set up. This is our first time in our new church on our property that we're doing this water baptism here. We are not going to baptize anybody in the canal. We want to baptize you in the name of Jesus. We don't want to baptize you so you go home to be with Jesus, if you know what I mean. So what we're going to do is meet out on the front lawn, and for those of you who are planning to be water baptized, you'll want to have an extra change of clothes and a towel as well. And we're thinking that it will be around 2 o'clock-ish, heavy on the ish, which will be after the lunch, which will start at 12:15. Of course, this presupposes that the pastor doesn't go on and on and on second service past, you know, 12:15. But after second service, we'll have our lunch there in the kitchen in the fellowship hall. And then after that, we'll make our way out to the lawn. You know, talk about answered prayer. I know it's maybe a small thing by some standard, but I pray about everything, and I know many of you do too, both big and small. And I've been praying all week for it to be a really, really nice day. And so I checked the weather report today, being this great man of faith that I am, and needing to walk by sight and see it. And sure enough, it's really interesting because about the time that we're out there doing the water baptism, it's supposed to be really nice and really sunny, even as it is right now, because we just kind of had the residual of that Hurricane Hector that went to the south of us. That was another, by the way, answer to prayer, I'll have you know, that we were not hit by that. That would have been terrible. So anyway, it's going to be really nice this afternoon. We're hoping that whether you're being baptized or not, you'll join with us for a time of fellowship together and just as a church together for the water baptism. I want to mention, too, one more thing. After the baptism, we need a team of people to help us tear everything down and put everything away. Now, it took the guys yesterday only 50 minutes to set everything up that you see pictured here. And we think, depending on how many people will help us tear down, it shouldn't take more than maybe even just 30 minutes. So if you're available to do that, we'd certainly appreciate that. All right, let's talk about what water baptism is and what water baptism is not. First, water baptism is a biblical command for those who are believers in and followers of Jesus Christ. In what we call and affectionately refer to as the Great Commission in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Secondly, water baptism is an outward expression of an inward commitment in which we publicly proclaim and identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me maybe illustrate it and explain it this way. So for those of you that are going to be water baptized, you're going to walk into the water, and you're going to stand there, and then I'm going to immerse you in the water. This is you identifying with the burial, the death and burial of Jesus Christ, and then I'm going to bring you up, and I will bring you up soon enough. I will bring you up out of the water, and you are, by doing that, identifying with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is why we believe in baptism, water baptism by immersion. Can I ask you, if you have your Bibles, to turn with me to the book of Romans, the 6th chapter. I want to read verses 1 through 8. This is going to be key and germane to our understanding of what water baptism is. The Apostle Paul is writing, I like to say, sort of arguing the case, as it were. And he says, verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" He's just got done saying, "Where sin abounds, there does grace much more abound." And then he says, verse 2, "By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus..." That, by the way, that word, baptized, in the original language of the Greek New Testament, is the Greek word baptizo. Hang on to that. It's going to be, I'll explain that in just a moment. "Those who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were," verse 4, "therefore buried with him through baptism." Different word. In the original language, it's not baptizo, rather it's baptismos. Again, I'll explain it in a moment. "So we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Jesus, as Christ, was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection." Verse 6, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer," and this is key, "be slaves to sin. Because anyone," verse 7, "who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." Okay. Now, I point out the difference between these two different Greek words that Paul uses, because it explains the meaning of, really, the purpose of what water baptism is. And I'll explain. One word means to dip, and the other word means to be soaked. And the best way I've ever heard this explained and illustrated was by way of an ancient Greek recipe for pickles. Yes, pickles. Bear with me on this, please. The word baptizo means to dip and was used among the Greeks when describing the dyeing of a garment that was dipped into the dye. Baptismos, on the other hand, means to soak and was used among the Greeks to describe the ceremonial washings of the articles by soaking them. Now, this is where our ancient Greek pickle recipe, which I know you have great interest in, comes into play. If a cucumber is dipped into the water, baptizo, there's no change to the cucumber. It's merely been dipped, baptizo. Conversely, you take that same cucumber and now you soak it in vinegar, baptismos, there's a change. And the cucumber will now change into a flavorful pickle, which, by the way, I happen to really like pickles, especially on hamburgers, cheeseburgers too, with just a little bit of lettuce, not too much. Now back to the passage in Romans. Paul uses both words, saying we're dipped, baptizo, into the water, but there's no physical change outwardly. However, we're buried with Christ through baptismos into his death and resurrection, and as such, we're changed inwardly. Spiritually, there's been a change now that has taken place from within. Let me explain it further. When our old self is spiritually buried with Christ, we now become dead to sin's power over us. Please know, this does not mean that we don't sin. I want to talk about that in just a moment. It's not to say that we'll ever sin again. Rather, it's to say that we've been set free from the bondage and the slavery to sin, and perhaps more importantly, the penalty, the death penalty, because of that sin. And this by virtue of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We have been now and are dead to sin's power because in Christ we have been separated from sin's power to condemn us. In Romans 6, Paul says very interestingly, and this is a passage of Scripture, a very important one, and one for which is largely misunderstood. The Apostle Paul writes by the Spirit and says that sin no longer has dominion over us. What does that mean? Does that mean that we are no longer tempted to sin? Absolutely not. We will still be tempted to sin. We will still sin. But here's what happens now in Christ and because of Christ. Sin can no longer condemn us to death. Sin can no longer dominate and master us, the guilt and the condemnation of that sin, because of what Jesus Christ did. Now, I want to tackle probably one of the, this is a biggie. And actually, it's an often asked question about water baptism being required for salvation. This is actually a false teaching known as baptismal regeneration, which basically says that you need to be water baptized in order to be saved, in the sense that regeneration doesn't happen until one is water baptized. Now, you'll forgive the bluntness with which I say this, but this is absolutely and utterly and totally false. This is not scriptural at all, and I'm so thankful it's not, and I'll explain why I say that. When Jesus on the cross paid in full for all of our sins, he uttered three words. You know what those three words were? Thank you. It is finished. Period. Not comma. It is finished, comma. However, it is finished if it is finished when it is finished, but no, it is finished. I don't mean to get worked up, but I'm getting worked up. So bear with me. I'll try to calm down. This really gets me because it's blasphemy. Because you take and you put the onus on man now. And what Jesus said on the cross when he said it is finished, he was lying then because it's not finished. You can't say it is finished because if it were finished, then that means that there's nothing that I have to do on my part. Are you kidding me? See, if it's not finished, we still have work to do on our part, right? If there's a comma after it is finished. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There is nothing that you and I can do. Jesus did it, and it is finished. It's done. He did it all. He paid it all. There's nothing we can add to it. There's nothing we can do to earn it. There are no works. There are no acts. There is no thing that we can do to be saved. He did it for us and instead of us. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. We have the account of the criminal on the cross who was crucified next to Jesus. And he asks Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. Listen to the answer that Jesus gives him in verse 43. Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. If you can figure out some way to get off that cross next to me, go get water baptized, get back up here, and then, if you see the absurdity of that? John 3, verse 3, a very well-known verse, and you'll forgive my emotion here, but Jesus declared, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He did not say, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again and water baptized, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I know this is maybe a silly way to make the point, but I think and hope you get the point. No. If you're born again, you will enter the kingdom of God. So now you're saying to yourself, well, then why get water baptized if it's not necessary for salvation? I'll get to that. I need to tackle this one, though. It's another question that's asked about water baptism, and it has to do with the necessity of water baptism to cleanse or remove sinful habits. The answer to this question is clearly no. Again, it's the finished work of the cross and the shed blood of Christ that forgives and cleanses us from all of our sin. 1 John 1:9 has been called the Christian bar of soap. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't sing it anymore, sadly, but we do. Be hard-pressed to find a church anymore in this day and age in which we live to hear songs sung about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power in the blood. There is power in the blood. The Bible says there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And that's why Jesus shed his blood in our stead, for the remission, the forgiveness, the cleansing from all of our sin. There's nothing we can do in our own righteousness. In fact, Isaiah said that if any of us tries to stand before God in our own righteousness, it will be as filthy rags. And that's a pretty graphic description in the original language of the Hebrew in Isaiah. Well, let me bring it to a close with the bottom line. Water baptism is a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, just as a wedding ring is a symbol that I married. See, this wedding ring that I'm wearing does not make me married. It symbolizes that I'm already married. And so too with water baptism, it's a symbol that I'm already saved. It doesn't save me. Just like a wedding ring doesn't make me married, water baptism doesn't make me saved. No, it's just a symbol that I am saved. One last question. Can I be water baptized more than once? Answer, absolutely yes. I have been water baptized several times, actually, over the years. Not because it didn't take the first, you know, couple of times, but the reason I did it, and actually I try to do it whenever we go to Israel. And by the way, I know that those of you who are going to Israel with us are going to want to be water baptized in the River Jordan. And I want to let you know that if you're going to do that, in November when we go, Lord willing, if we're still here. I should probably qualify that. But so I just want you to know that the water in our baptismal, I checked it this morning, is a lot warmer than the water in Israel in the River Jordan. It's usually, especially in November, very cold. So if you want to get baptized today, great. You want to get baptized again in November when we're in Israel, that's great too. The reason I do it is, it's not because I need to keep getting saved. It's because I love to proclaim that I am saved. And here's another reason. I'm not ashamed to be identified with Jesus Christ, nor am I ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Any chance I get for a public proclamation and declaration that I am saved by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ on that cross almost 2,000 years ago, I'm going to do it. I probably won't get water baptized today. That's not to say that somebody might not try to dunk me in Jesus' name. This is not a dunk tank. I just want you to know. But anyway, so now, you might be here at this service saying to yourself, I had no intentions. I did not plan on being water baptized, but now maybe I do want to be water baptized. That's great. You have plenty of time between now and about 2 o'clock. Go home, get your clothes, get a towel, come back, and we would love to have you be a part of our water baptism. I hope that clears it up, answers questions, and why don't we close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this to do. What an opportunity for us to first and foremost obey your command. And then secondly, to proclaim publicly that we belong to you. that we're born again of the Spirit of God, cleansed by the power of your blood. Lord, bless our water baptism today. Let it be a nice day. Don't let it rain. Don't let it get windy. Little breeze would be nice. But Lord, thank you. And especially for all of those who are going to be baptized today. In Jesus' name, amen.